Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power, both now and forever. And our soul says amen, amen, and amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Top of the morning to you. And welcome back, amen, to the Lifeway Jesus Kingdom Ministries, mentoring kingdom leadership, where Jesus Christ is King and Jesus Christ is the Lord. I'm Apostle Dr. Alfreda, amen, serving in the Lord's kingdom, lifting up the name of Jesus, because Jesus Christ is Lord. And every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess the Lordship of Jesus. Amen and amen. In the book of Galatians, chapter number 5, amen, starting in verse number 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, and strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And Father God, we just want to bless you and thank you, Father, hallelujah, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Beloved, amen. Still teaching, amen, on the law of obedience. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. As we want to focus, amen, on verse number 21. Amen. Complete this verse. Amen. We started with this verse earlier in the week. Amen. And it tells us in verse number 20, let us focus again, amen, on verse 20, and actually verse number 19, that now it lists, Paul lists the work, the workings of the flesh, and now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and he begins with adultery, fornication, he begins with the sexual sins, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen, amen, and amen. And God's word is true. God's word is eternal. God is not a man. God is not a liar. Amen. God's word will never return unto him void, but will always accomplish absolutely everything that he has sent his word forth to do. God will honor his word above his name. Amen. So, beloved, amen, we stopped, amen, on envyings. Matter of fact, we did a whole, amen, a session on that work of the flesh, amen. It's a very mean and evil working of the flesh, envyings. When we envy, beloved, amen, it's a deeply felt grudge because someone possesses what a person wishes was his own. And because this person has a chip on his shoulder, he begrudges what the other person possesses. And they're covetous of that person's belongings, that person's accomplishments, that person's relationships, or that person's title in their life. Glory be to God. There's some places I go to and the Holy Spirit to speak to me and say, don't let them know that you're a doctor. Don't let them know that you have a doctorate degree. Don't let them know that. There's some places I go. There's some places I go to, I won't even say I'm an apostle. Sometimes I just go and I say, my name is Alfreda Bradford. Sometimes I leave the titles off intentionally. See, because soon as, you know, some people hear it, you know, they're just envious even of your title. And beloved, when that person is engrossed in that, with that sin, amen, of envy, every time that person sees the other person, they inwardly seethe about that person's success. They just, you know what I mean, they just can't handle it. They deeply resent the person's blessings. And they try to figure out a way to seize it away from the person that he envies in order to make it his own. Some people are envious of the fact that you married. See? You have a spouse and they don't. You have children and they don't. You have something that they don't have, and they want what you have. See, envy is so bad. See, jealousy and envy is different. Jealousy is you are angry over somebody else's success, somebody else's victory. You can't, you know, you can't rejoice with those who rejoice. Because you're really angry that they're rejoicing. That's jealousy. But when it comes down to envy, not only are you jealous, you want what they got. Not only are you jealous that they have a spouse, you want their spouse. You want their success. You want that attention. You want it. See, so it's a bad thing. It's real ugly. It's real ugly. Then Paul goes on to talk about drunkenness, beloved. Now, when Paul uses this word, beloved, the Holy Spirit in the Greek, this word drunkenness here refers to strong drink. The consumption of wine, the consumption of liquor, whiskey, okay, for the sake of intoxication. Okay, now we're not talking about taking, you know, a little communion wine, you know what I mean? We're not talking about a little dinner wine on occasion. Paul wasn't talking about that. And you got to be careful with that too. Because one time, one glass of wine might lead to the whole doggone bottle of wine. Next thing, you at the state store, you know what I mean, buying cases of stuff. We're talking about intoxication here. This is what Brother Paul, well, let me say, the Holy Spirit is alluding to, teaching us on. See? And we know, especially back in Paul's day, because, I mean, they would drink it up. I mean, wine was their thing. See, you can't really downgrade wine because, remember, that was Jesus' first miracle. Jesus' very first miracle is when he turned water to wine. See, the wine was a part of their festivities. I mean, that's just how, especially how they did it. It was part of their religious practices. See? But, beloved, a person that is drunk, see, when you get in, fall into a drunken state, it suppresses your mind's ability to think correctly. And it releases the flesh to fully express itself. And so now you do the things you said you wasn't going to do. Now you can fully be fully seduced, see? And people, you know, don't remember what they did when they was drunk. Why? Because your ability to think, amen, was suppressed and your flesh just went wild. It did whatever was going on and some. See? And the believers in the first century were trying to walk free from the power of their flesh. So the last thing they needed was to drink wine and to inhibit their ability to think correctly, revive the flesh, and then do things that were sinful or damaging. And this is why, beloved, when we read throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament, see, what is Paul telling us? Paul urges the first century Corinthians, and he's urging us, leave the wine alone. Just leave it alone, because it's going to get you in trouble. See, and you fall into that sin of drunkenness, a work of the flesh. They so drunk. Every time I see them, they drunk. That's their flesh at work. It's that flesh at work. See, the flesh gonna be the flesh. If the flesh can't be nothing else but the flesh, the flesh not gonna get saved. Your spirit is saved the moment you sincerely dedicated your life to Christ. Your soul is in the process of being saved. That's why he tells us to work out our soul salvation. See, your flesh not getting saved. That's why you're going to take on a new body when you enter into heaven. You see, your flesh knows where it's going, and the flesh don't care. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, going right back to where it came from. And then the next one that Paul speaks about is revilings. Revilings. See? And this word here, beloved, in the Greek describes a person who can't bear the thought of boredom. Oh, they refuse to be bored. Oh, no, they got to have something to do. Oh, no, Friday night? It's Friday night, y'all. What's going on? Where the party? Where it is? It's the weekend. It's the holiday. They refuse to be bored. And this person here constantly seeks forms of amusement or entertainment. This person here, in the sin of revilings, beloved, is actually afraid to be bored. So they constantly contemplate what he can do next to have fun. What can we do next to be entertained? What can we do? That word, beloved, can refer to a person who endlessly eats at the parties. Y'all know people like that? From the time they walked in the door to the time they put them out of leave. Eat, 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 eat. Talking to everybody, eating, 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 eating. Or it could refer to that person who seeks constant laughter. Hilarious. Laughing all night. Laughing, laughing. Hilarious. See, glory be to God. Why? Because they're afraid of being bored. They got to keep something going. They got to keep it rolling. See? Now, beloved, although there's nothing wrong with laughter, nothing wrong at all. Some of us need to laugh a little bit more. But this person here in the sin of revilings, beloved, is a person who is consumed with the need for comedy. light moments, consumed with having fun, consumed with having pleasure, consumed with entertainment, or consumed with constant eating. This person here in the sin of revilings, beloved, lives for the next meal. They live for the next restaurant. They live for the next movie or the next vacation. Beloved, that's the sin of the flesh. Glory be to God. And then Paul goes on to say, as he concludes this list, this rundown, okay, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul goes on to say, and the such like. In other words, there's more that could be added to this list. I ain't finished in the workings of the flesh. The workings of the flesh is endless. See, just like the spirit is endless. Paul ends this list, beloved. Glory be to God. Alerting us to the fact that this list of the works of the flesh is not comprehensive. This is not an all-inclusive list. It is just a beginning. Somebody say just the beginning. The beginning of the works of the flesh. There's many more examples of works of the flesh which could be added to this list. But Paul uses these as examples. See, you only need an example. See, we know what Paul's talking about. We ain't got to play dumb. We ain't that slow. We might be slow, but we ain't that slow. See. So this is just examples on how the flesh behaves. Our flesh is naughty. Our flesh refuses to be on good behavior. Matter of fact, your flesh don't even know how to be on good behavior. This is why the Holy Spirit told us to crucify it, mortify, kill that flesh, because your flesh don't know how to act. It's going to embarrass you every time unless you take control over it and you have the power to do it, because Christ lives in you. You as a born-again believer have the power to do so. Why? Because your spirit is the greater power. Your flesh is warring against your spirit. Your spirit is warring against your flesh, but your spirit should be winning. If you're walking in the spirit, if you're living in the spirit, if you have a life of prayer, a life of fasting, if you have a life of commitment, you are abiding in Christ. Christ is abiding in you. See? As Brother Shamrock would say, you don't have no problems. All you need is faith in God. See? So Paul uses these as examples, beloved, ending the list. Once he has sufficiently made the point to his readers. Oh, Brother Paul was awesome. Oh, most people on Paul's education level, most of them don't even talk about God. They don't even talk about God. They so educated, they think they don't need God. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. But Paul knew how to make his point. As a matter of fact, Paul almost persuaded Gamaliel, amen, to turn to Christ. Oh, Paul knew how to make his point. Amen. Glory be to God. Well, because he allowed the Holy Spirit to speak through him. But guess what? The same Holy Spirit that was speaking through Paul is the same Holy Spirit that wants to speak through you. when you cooperate with them. So, beloved, Paul wrote, they which do such things shall not. Somebody say shall not. You might want to write those two words down. I think we overlook those two words. We don't think those two words mean what those two words say. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. See. He is talking about those who perform these things as a matter of lifestyle. Now, he's not talking about somebody that got drunk one time. You went to a party, you got drunk. Okay. He's not talking about that. All right. You committed fornication like so many people do. All right. Most folks that done had sex, they wait till they get married. Then after they get married, they act like they want to get it from somebody else. So now they're in adultery. Huh? With violence. Well, you know what I mean? He's not talking about, you know, those temporary acts of the flesh. Here, what Paul, amen, is telling us, beloved, those who do these things as a matter of lifestyle. See? Those who are habitually controlled by fleshly thoughts or deeds. To these people, Paul is saying, the works of the flesh are their rituals. The works of the flesh are their norms. The works of the flesh are their pattern of life. These are the people that's in trouble. These are the people, amen, that's wrapped up in the flesh, so they're not walking in the spirit. And if you're not walking in the spirit, you definitely cannot walk in obedience. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. Flesh has no faith. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Yeah, thank you. That was simple. Flesh has no faith. Thank you. I write that down. Put that in my book. Oh, that goes right in my book. I'm wrapping it up. Get that to the publisher. Flesh has no faith. Hope I don't forget that by the end of this service. So let me ask you some questions here as we close. Do you routinely commit adultery? And then you got, don't forget about spiritual adultery too. I think we already spoke on that. If you missed any of these lessons, you got to go back and pull it up. Do you routinely live in fornication? The world think it's common. Nowadays, I don't know, because it's been quite a while for me. And even, you know, dating, from what I understand, the way they do it now, when you go out on an official date with somebody in the world, that means at the end of the date, you're going to be at somebody's hotel, motel, bedroom. You conclude the date with sex. I mean, that's the way my understanding the world got this thing wrapped up and think it's okay. So this is my man now. This is my boyfriend. This is my girlfriend, whatever. No, baby. This your fornication partner. That's what it is. Yo, let me talk to the sisters real quick. Let me drop this down. Sisters, if you're not the wife, you're the whore. Yeah, I said it, and I'm going to say it again. If you're not the wife, you're the whore. You ain't the girlfriend. If you're having sex with him, I don't care if you engaged. If you're having sex with him, you're the whore. Okay. Do you routinely live in fornication? Do you routinely allow yourself to think unclean thoughts? Do you routinely overindulge in sexual sins or gluttony? Do you routinely give your heart and devotion and idolatry to other things besides Jesus? Do you routinely run from the truth like those who participated in witchcraft? Do you routinely allow hatred to thrive inside your heart and your soul? Do you routinely exhibit a bitterly mean spirit that is consumed with its own self-interest? Do you routinely permit yourself to be jealous, resentful, and envious of what others possess? Do you routinely lose your temper, fly into a rage, and give way to destructive outbursts? Are you routinely so self-consumed that you are blinded to the desires or needs of others? Do you routinely rebel and live in defiance to authority or show yourself to be disloyal? Do you routinely act as if you and your exclusive clique are superior to other people? Do you routinely begrudge other people's belongings, their accomplishments, their relationships, or their titles in life? Do you routinely and deliberately allow your flesh to freely follow its temptations? Do you routinely live for the next moment of fleshly pleasure? Well, beloved, if your answer is yes, if you told the truth this morning, and if your answer is yes, the Bible says, not Pastor Bradford, I'm just a mailman, don't kill the mailman because you got a letter from the IRS. You can't beat up the mailman because the mailman brought you a letter you didn't want to open. Matter of fact, you still have it open because you know what's in it. You know it's a past due bill. You know it's a court order. You still haven't opened the mail. Some of us have received mail, FedEx, UPS, special delivery. We still haven't opened it because we know what's on the inside. You can't beat up the mailman because the mailman brought you the letter. Please don't get mad with me. The Bible says, if you routinely do these things, you need to be very concerned about whether or not you are genuinely a child of God. And this is why you hear me say repeatedly over, 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 and over, it's going to be a lot of Christians in hell. How can you say that, Pastor? Because anybody can say they are a Christian. Are you a disciple? Are you a follower? Are you walking in obedience, beloved? You cannot be routinely engrossed in the works of the flesh and be a Christian. You missed it. You missed it, baby. You might be caught up in religion, but you definitely not caught up in salvation. Why? Because if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And beloved, as you will see, glory be to God, next week, and as we continue, amen, in our teachings and obedience. And as we have already shared with you, I've given you the lineup of scriptures. Because you know I try to do my homework. I just don't come and say something that try to sound good or try to reprimand somebody. Look, we're trying to go to heaven. I don't know what you're trying to do. I don't know why you meet on this platform every morning, but I know why I'm here teaching, because I'm going to heaven. And you want to play around and miss heaven, that's on you, baby. I'm sorry to see you go. Just keep this in mind, that the same way heaven is eternal, so is hell. Now you get to pick and choose Listen to me, and I'm really closed. Hear me well. It is impossible, I said impossible, for a real believer. Now we got to get down to you if you're real or not. For a real believer to continue habitually in sin. If these works of the flesh are the norm in your life, if these works of the flesh are the patterns in your life, if these workings of the flesh are the routine of your life, beloved, it may be an indication that you have never been born again. Thus, providing the reason that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Some people are going to look Jesus straight in his face and hear Jesus say, depart from me, your workers of iniquity, I never knew you. What? I was a pastor of the church. I never knew you. I was the apostle, the bishop. Yeah, but that's the title you gave yourself. Huh? I went to church every Sunday. I couldn't get there every Sunday, but I went with a cord. I gave money to the church. I sang on the choir. I was an usher. I worked in the community. I fed the poor. Don't you? Can I show you my resume, Jesus? He said, I never knew you. Boy, that's going to be a sad day. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, God, help me not to be in that line. When the saints go marching in, oh, God, please help me not to be in that line. Glory be to God. So-called Christian, but had your flesh dominating and calling shots the whole time, the whole run. You did what your flesh wanted to do, not what God wanted to do. You didn't even seek the will of God. You wasn't concerned about the will of God. Everything was a show. Everything was for your pleasure, for your enjoyment in life. Like you was going to live down here forever. Like this world, amen, could put you in heaven. Your friends don't have no heaven or hell to put you into. This is a choice that you make. Either your ears or your ain't, your tears or your taint. This is a decision that you have to make. Your mama can't make this thing for you. Your pastor can't make this thing for you. You got to decide if you want Jesus or not. If you want Jesus, you can have Jesus. If you don't want Jesus, then go to hell, because that's where you're going. But God don't want you to go there. Hell was not made for man. Hell was made for Satan and his angels. It's a terrible place. He speaks about hell. Jesus teaches on hell more than he teaches about heaven. He don't want you to go there. And as a born-again believer, you have the power not to go. Because greater is he that lives within you than he that lives in the world. Glory be to the living God. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Stop trying to put people in heaven when they die. You all know where they went. Just be concerned about where you going. Well, they was a good work in the church. So what? So what? There was a good work in the church. What was that flesh doing after the benediction? Drinking and having orgies and all that stuff, adultery and fuck. What? You don't know. Only God knows the hearts. You don't know if they went to heaven or hell. So I tell you what, why don't you make sure you go to heaven, and when you get to heaven, you'll see them and you know they made it. If you get to heaven and you see they not there, you know they didn't. Don't allow your flesh to cause you to miss heaven. Don't allow your flesh to send you to hell, and don't allow nobody else to send you. If they got a problem with their flesh, don't you allow that their problem to become your problem. What type of God would we serve if he could save us from our sins and not save us from our habits? But he ain't going to force it on you. The angel's not going to come down and handcuff you. You had to freely want this thing. You had to humble yourself. You had to submit yourself. You had to yield your members, beloved, unto the Lord. You got to do this. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to come down and mortify your flesh. No, he didn't say Jesus was going to mortify your flesh. It didn't say the Holy Spirit was going to mortify your flesh. It didn't say God was going to mortify your flesh. He told you to mortify your flesh. And he would never, amen, tell you something that you was incapable of doing. You know why the reason your flesh ain't mortified, doggone it? Because you ain't ready to mortify it. See? You like getting drunk. You like the envy that's in your heart, the murders, killing folks with your words. You like the revilings. Come on now, just tell the truth and shame the devil and make your flesh feel good. So good, yeah. It feels good, yeah. You all wrapped up in that? Uh-huh. You better be careful, baby. You better be careful. But guess what? Today could be the last day you even get an opportunity. I'm just going to do it one more time. Woo! I'm just going to do it one more time. Preacher. And he would travel. He was very in demand, and they would call him from church to church, and he would preach. And I hear he preach. He had to, you know, one of them preachers had to shouting, and you got to be careful what you're shouting to. Dancing, amen, and anointed, because gifts and callings come without repentance. But after every amen meeting, he would go to over to one of the sisters' house. See, because them sisters, the most foolish women, they love the preachers. They love men in authority. So they love the preachers. They love the policemen. They love politicians. Because these foolish women love men in authority. So the preacher wouldn't refuse nothing. See, he go over, he get himself a good rounded meal. See, because he would fill his physical belly, and see, his sexual belly and everything else. But on this one particular day, glory be to God, after he had finished, after sin had said amen, glory be to God, it was raining outside. And as he was leaving, he went over to the bucket that you keep your umbrellas in. With the little bucket you keep by the door with the umbrellas. Some kind of way he slipped and fell. And the point on the umbrella, the little silver part, went through his eyeball. Killed him on the spot. On his way to his next preaching appointment. Beloved, let me tell you something. God is not to be played with. And God is so merciful. He is, because God is so slow and merciful and gracious, we think that we have God's approval. God's mercy does not confirm his approval for our sin. Because he hasn't moved yet. Because this is still happening and that's still happening. And we just keep going. We figure we'll get to it tomorrow. And nobody promised you tomorrow. We're living in such a time, beloved, amen, with the threat of nuclear wars, amen, and with all the other stuff that's going on around us. Y'all watch the news. You don't have to live in the hood, baby. It's happening in the suburbs, amen. Sin is everywhere. Glory be to God. We're living in a time, amen, glory be to God, where you can't be getting ready. You got to be ready. Now, you can't be getting ready, amen, to go to the bus stop to catch the bus. Baby, you got to be at the bus stop because there's a train a-coming. None can walk up there. but the pure in heart. There's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. There's a highway to heaven, walking up the King's highway. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So, beloved, if you occasionally struggle with sin, then go to God. Now, this is the remedy here. This is the remedy. We ain't leaving you high and dry. God always has an answer. Go to God and allow him to show you how he sees your sin. Oh, he'll show you. I don't know if this is sin or not. I don't know. All right, well, just go to God. God knows. Why don't you go to somebody who got all the answers? Because we don't want to talk to the person who got all the answers. We want to talk to somebody who's going to see things our way. Yeah, you all right, baby, because you just human. You know, everybody else doing it. You know, it's just normal. Ooh-wee. Boy, you better start protecting your ear gates. Misery loves company. Somebody else struggling in their sin, they happy to see you struggling in yours. Yeah, well, you know, because sister so-and-so, yeah, she got the same problem. Oh, they love that conversation. Yeah, they got the same problem. Yeah, I was just talking to them yesterday. No, you need to talk to somebody who's going to talk to you like I'm talking to you today. Get your act together. Glory be to God. That's a friend. Get your act together. They so mean. No, that's tough love. Get your act together. Hell is eternal. Stop playing. Get a revelation of what sin is, how grievous it is to the heart of God. We're grieving the Holy Spirit. We're quenching the Holy Spirit and don't even care. Some of us, the Holy Spirit left a long time ago. And how damaging it is to your own soul. The soul that sins shall die. Spiritual death. Then ask God to forgive you and cleanse you. Beloved, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteous. All you got to do is turn. Then he says, my people call by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn. But we want to leave the turning part out. Well, I'm praying on it. Okay. All right. Bless the Lord. I'm seeking God. Okay. Bless the Lord. You turn yet? Well, you know, I'm still kind of weak. You playing. That's what you're doing. You playing. When you ask God, God said, he who confesses and forsakes his sins shall have mercy. It's more than just confessing, baby. You got to forsake it. You got to do some forsaking. You got to turn in God's direction. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And they'll fight you. They be ready to kill your mama, your dog, and everybody else. No, I know I'm right. I know I'm right. I see. They ready to fight for it and walk in the wrong way. That's how the devil bamboozles his people. Baby, if you're not walking in the spirit and in obedience to God, you on the wrong way. I don't care what it look like. You on the wrong highway, going to the wrong destination. And God will forgive you. Isn't that beautiful? When we turn around the hand and ask God in spirit and truth, God, forgive me. God, just forgive me. Forgive me, God. Just call and call it. You want to really be purged? You want to really be cleansed? Don't just ask him, God, just forgive me for all my sin. No, come on, get real with God. God, forgive me for my adultery. Forgive me for my fornication, Father. Forgive me for being a liar, a gossiper. Forgive me for that envy in my heart. Oh, baby, that's the purge in there. Yeah, it's like going to somebody. You know you done did that person wrong. And you call yourself going to get it right with them. I'm sorry, Pastor Bradford. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. See, nah. You wasn't real. You know when you real? Pastor Bradford, please forgive me for, you know, lying on you. And forgive me for talking about you behind your back. See, when we start calling it out like that, oh, we serious now. We serious. And that's what some of us need to do towards God. God, please forgive me for allowing my flesh to get the best of me, God. Forgive me. Call them, just call it out. Woo, baby, you talking about something refreshing to your soul? You talking about some real liberty? You talking about being set free? Oh, the Lord is set free, is free indeed. You talking about flying like an eagle? Woo, you talking about out of the cave? You talking about setting the captives free? You start calling it out like that. See, because now you are not ashamed. So that's who I used to be. Ha! That's what I used to do. Ah, come on, somebody. Woo! Hallelujah. But if you routinely do many of these things as a matter of lifestyle, I believe you need to go to God and ask him to tell you the truth about your spiritual status. Some of you need to go to God right now, as soon as in the next 2 minutes after I give the benediction, and ask the Holy Spirit to show you the truth about your spiritual status. And then keep your mind open, keep your ears open, because he's going to show you. Oh, he's going to show you. I double dare you, for anybody that means right with God, I double dare you to ask God to show you yourself the way he sees you. I double dare you. Because he's going to show you, baby. And he's going to show you in a way it's going to be no ambiguity. You're going to see it. You're going to get it. When I first asked God that and God showed me, y'all heard my testimony. When God first showed me, and we going back now some 40 years, maybe a little bit more. I think it was 1984. I just got married. Amen. Around that time. And when God showed me, I was on the 19th floor over there in the Pico building on the 19th floor down near 23rd and Market. I'll never even forget where I was. I was standing by the window. And when the Holy Spirit revealed me to me, his heart, my heart, the way he saw it, I was the evangelist at that time. When God showed me, I had to turn around and ask God who he was talking about. Because sure, he wasn't talking about me. But guess what? Yes, he was. You're talking about a rude awakening. And ever since that day, beloved, this is the type of cleaning that I do. I am not afraid to ask God because I want to know. I want to know. What about you? Because guess what, beloved? You cannot afford to make a mistake about this eternal question. You can't afford it. In Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for saving us by the power of God. Father, we ask you to help us put aside the works of the flesh once and for all. Please teach us to walk in the Spirit. We know that you have designed a powerful life for us, and we want to enter into that life in all of its fullness. Our heart's desire is to know you better and to walk with you. So today, we are asking that your Spirit propel us forward into this newer and higher way of living. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And our soul says, amen, amen, and amen. Woo, my God. I have to go back and replay this one for me. Glory be to God. Woo, I got to go back and replay this one for me. Amen. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Woo, Father God. All right, all right. If you do not know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of your sins, amen, you can know him. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. Okay? Hallelujah. Your heart and your mouth. Your heart. You have to believe and confess. Believe and confess. Believe and confess. And when you do that, you become a follower. You be a follower. You have to be a follower of Christ. See, this is the difference here. You got some people that made that confession. They say Jesus Christ is Lord. But they never followed him. They say wrapped up into carnality. Then you have the other person that made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, and they are followers of him. They're walking in the Spirit. See, that's the difference. See, so you have to make sure that you're walking in the Spirit, and then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Come on, somebody. I got to close. Amen. I'm not out of words, but I'm definitely out of time. Amen. We want to thank each and every one of you for serving today at our altar prayer. Amen. God bless all of our lovely prayer warriors, all of you who call in to touch and agree. Thanking God for our Wednesday night Bible study. Those of you in audience land, radio land, internet land, we don't know who you are, but you know who you are. Amen. Glory be to God. We know you missed us. Amen. This week. Amen. Glory be to God. A couple days we wasn't on. Amen. The internet. Glory be to God. Well, that's how it is. And you need to come on the inside and stop hiding. Amen. Because those of us that was on the inside, we kept the service going. Amen. On our backup numbers. We got some backup numbers. Amen. So come on the inside. Amen. And let us, amen, get to know one another. Amen. Hallelujah. And we look forward to meeting with you. Amen and amen. If you desire to be a blessing to this ministry, amen, you know how to do it. Amen. Go to lifewordjesus.org, hit the connect button, and you can make your donation there through PayPal. Amen. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 461, Glenside, Pennsylvania, 19038. P.O. Box 461, Glenside, Pennsylvania, 19038. Amen. Our Cash App address is $ Life Word Jesus. I want to thank God for giving me the strength to come and minister every day this week. I normally try to take at least one or two days off, but the Holy Spirit, amen, led me to go nonstop. Amen. And Lord's willing, I still have to come back on tomorrow. Amen. But to God be praise, to God be glory, to God be honor. Thank you for your prayers and thank you for your support. We want to pray that everybody will have a lovely day today. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Father God, help us not to be in the right place at the wrong time. We cancel bad news. We cancel tears. We cancel sorrow. We cancel premature death in the name of Jesus Christ. No plague shall come nigh our dwelling. Father God, hallelujah. We bind absolutely every spirit of retaliation. We nullify it. We cancel it and declare it null and void. We seal this prayer and this service by the word, by the blood, and by the spirit. We cast it at the feet of Jesus to decree and declare, declare and decree. Amen. That it cannot, it will not, and it shall not be broken. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present your faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And the church did say, amen, 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 and amen. And Satan is defeated, darkness is dispelled, and Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Apostle Dr. Alfreda Philadelphia signing out. Amen. Have a wonderful day on today. Amen. Amen. And amen.
And say, Lord, you are welcome in this place. Now lay your hands on yourself. For the Bible says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. I want you to lay your hands upon yourself and say, Lord, You are welcome in this place. Say it again, Lord. You are welcome in this place. Now just lift your hands and receive his glorious presence. Kurt, come help me, son. Sing this. Lord,
lift those hands, lift them.